All right, we're resuming here with our second session this morning, and we are dealing with the extended quotation that Paul plugs in here in chapter 3, beginning with verse 10, after the indictment that the Jews are not better than the Gentiles when it comes to the plus R factor, and the whole human race is under the indictment of being minus R, and then the list of things that we have here on page 12 of your notes, the first two lines of verse 13, are from Psalm 59C, and the last from Psalm 143B. This is just the data that where all this comes from. We don't have to look these up. It's a collage of quotations from Psalms and Isaiah. Verse 14 corresponds to Psalm 10:7, and verse 15 is taken from Isaiah 59:7. Verse 16 is also from Psalm 59:7. Verse 17 is from Psalm Isaiah 59:8. 29. In verses 13 through 17, Paul specifies sins associated with human anatomy, specifically the organs of speech and the feet. 30, sins of the tongue, human speech, are related to the throat, the tongue, the lips, and the mouth in verses 13 and 14. This is just basic observation. 31, the grossness of speech is likened to an open tomb. And in an open tomb, or sepulcher, you would have the remains there rotting away. It's very unpleasant in every way. So it's like an open tomb. The tongue deceives through flattery and lies. I mean, he's just isolating certain. I mean, those verses just connected up with certain parts. The whole mouth, the whole apparatus obviously is involved. But we call it here because of the prominence of the tongue. Try to talk without moving your tongue. See how effective that is. You will not be able to say two words right. Okay? So we call it the sins of the tongue. We have a separate doctrine for the sins of the tongue. There's a verse in James that says if you can master that area, it's a sign of maturity. Because everything is sponsored by the mental attitude, what's up here in the head. And then it comes out through speech quite often. And a lot of awful stuff happens as a result of the fact that people can't keep their mouths shut about things. Or they have to say something about that is completely erroneous. And this is what you have to be aware of, what people are saying, right or wrong, but especially wrong. What I'm alluding to is James 3. I'm just going to pick up with verse 2. For we all stumble in many ways. That's just a simple observation of the propensity that we as humans, as believers, have for STA activity. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, mature man, able to bridle the whole body as well. Now, if we put the bits into the horse's mouth so they will obey us, we direct their entire body as well. And look at the ships also. Even though they are so great and are driven by strong winds, are still directed by a very small rudder. That's down under the water, of course. Wherever the inclination of the pilot desires. So the tongue is a small part of the body, comparatively. And yet it boasts of great things. sin of boasting. I'm going to do this and all the rest. See how great a forest is set aflame by such a small fire. And the tongue is a fire. The very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body and sets on fire the course of our life and is set on fire by hell. For every species of beast and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by the human race. But no one can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil and full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image or likeness of God. From the same mouth come forth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be this way. Does a fountain send out from the same opening fresh and bitter water? No. Can a fig tree, my brethren, produce olives? Or a vine produce figs? Nor can salt water produce fresh water. Just a little reflection on controlling that part of your makeup, speech. The lips, point 31, are used for character assassination. And the mouth, cursing, curses, and bitterness arising from envy. 32, murder, the unjustified killing of humans is cited in verse 15. 33, the number murdered throughout human history in different contexts, of course, is incalculable. Someone said that in modern times, governments kill more of their own people than they do in wars. I don't know the statistics. But I do know that this has been the case. Various revolutions slaughtering tens of millions of people. And all who were involved in that activity to make that happen. The Russian and the Chinese communist revolutions. And the ones that are pushing this type of revolution in the United States currently, in high places, not just dummies out in the street. They're just being used. Creating violence, the overthrow of the order. So human killing, illegitimate, is very much a part of human history. People are victims, as I speak, of this kind of activity. So the number of murdered throughout human history is incalculable. 34, the feet mentioned because of movement towards victims. Verse 15 is an abbreviated rendering of Isaiah 59:7. Their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. 36, throughout history there has been much unnecessary bloodshed. Verse 16 is also from Isaiah 59:7 and is a verbatim rendering of the Septuagint. 38, verse 16 expands upon the idea of human suffering, human-induced suffering. Using the hapax, that means one time, word, soon trima, which means destruction, ruin, along with the counterpart, misery. Misery also occurs at James 5:1. And it is pertinent to our observation here, in that the James 5 is a prophecy that only makes sense in terms of technology of the latter days, that this kind of destruction, as it is specified here in these verses, could not have occurred in James' day unless somebody had nuclear weapons. Now, in the reporting of this particular prophecy, you will notice that the misery is going to be turned back on the heads of those who had caused so much misery. And that's what we're waiting for. Not that we want to see people go down. Not that we rejoice in their destruction. We rejoice in the manifestation of righteousness and the cessation of this kind of evil that is over humans by other humans that obviously know better, but they don't care. They don't care if they have put themselves in a position to be privileged and exempt from the types of things that we are under: taxation, inheritance tax, and inflation. These are oppressive things. Oppressive within our civilization. Just look at our tax code. It's ridiculous. Nobody can even keep up with that mess. They make the Pharisees look like pikers. Rule after rule after rule. Oh, we found a loophole. You know, for this one. And there probably are. But the average person isn't able to figure this all out. So they are subject to this. Oppression. Inflation is oppression. They never told me in economics course, hey, inflation is a result of the following policies of the Federal Reserve System. This is all in James 5. Now, there has always been repressive rich people. They're not content to be rich. They want to foist this off on other people and maintain their position. That's why true competition, they don't want that. That form of capitalism, they don't want. Free enterprise in the truest sense of the word. Let those rise to the top who will. They want monopolistic capitalism. That's another type of capitalism, where a certain cadre of people call the shots for the rest of us. And that's why a gallon of milk costs so much more today than it did in 1975. Why? We running out of cows? I understand supply and demand, but that isn't the issue here. We don't have a shortage yet of milk. It's because they've debased our currency. Or in the Old Testament terms, it's called usury. And it's condemned under the law of Moses. Usury. If you don't know what the word is, look it up. On your God phone. Okay? Just look it up. Usury. We do not have a level playing field. And we haven't had a level playing field. There were certain of our leaders that wanted one. And he had his faults, but on this he was right. President Andrew Jackson. He wanted to throw these thieves out, using the analogy from the Bible, out of the temple, out of the country. And pushed for a banking system at the top that was run by and overseen by the actually duly elected officials of our government, rather than putting it in private hands. So this whole battle went on all the way through. And these rich guys produced boom and bust and said, oh, if you give us this, you'll never have it anymore. And then we gave it to them and we had the biggest depression in our history. So they're the manipulators. They're in James 5 of your Bible. The last days manifestation of those people. This type of a banking system was devised by certain Jews that came out of Frankfurt, Germany. The Rothschilds. You probably heard that name. It means red shield. That was their scutcheon deal and all. Well, the father, the patriarch, he sent his sons to the capitals, major European capitals. Nathan went to England. I forget the names of the others. One went to France, one went to Italy, so forth. Except these banking houses. Their idea was, we're going to loan money to governments Really? You're going to be the banker to the government. Yeah, we're going to loan money to the government. So we like war. You know why? It makes us a lot of money. Because the government has to borrow from us a lot of money. And we get to, and they have to pay interest on it. And it's also a control mechanism. They're not even happy there. This whole thing is like a web, like an octopus tentacles going down. They want to control everything at the top. And in our history, we had these supposed attempts to bust trusts, break them up. Well, they just reorganize under another thing. And all their wealth, a lot of these people, you know where they hide it? In institutions. Rockefeller Foundation. Carnegie Foundation. Want to pay any taxes. Don't you wish you'd start up one for yourself? See how far you get with that. There have been our leaders who have spoken out against this and stood up to it. One of them was assassinated. John F. Kennedy. He sought to float a currency in competition with the Federal Reserve rather than just can the Federal Reserve and put out a $2 silver certificate. I have one in my office. Well, they don't want that. So the Federal Reserve System is not a federal government operation. It's privately owned, discrete stockholders who are not all American by any means. There are certain families, privileged families. They shouldn't be this way. The Constitution says the government is supposed to coin and regulate the value of money. And they're supposed to have direct oversight rather than having some stupid report come in once a year by the Fed. How we expanded the money supply. We pumped another trillion or whatever it is into the system. And that's why we are, I don't know what the figure is now, trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in debt. You can probably wrap your head around $1 billion, but you can't a trillion. And this thing just keeps increasing every day. It's a miracle we've survived to this point. But they want to redo the whole system. Oh yeah, I'll bet they do. Establish a digital currency. So they know if you buy a pack of gum, where you bought it, when you bought it. Come now, you rich, weep and howl. That you have to be alive to do that, by the way. I mean, no, you could go to hell and weep and howl. I understand that. But this is their temporal judgment. The final manifestation of these people. The final group of them that come down the line. For your miseries which are coming on you. James is inspired by the Holy Spirit to look ahead in history, like all prophets were, and say this. Your riches have rotted. They hoard up stuff like you can't believe. And your garments have become moth-eaten. Rich people don't have moths attack their nice clothes. They know how to protect them. You know, line their closets with cedar, whatever it takes. Their stuff is protected. Their massive amount of clothing they have. They couldn't wear it in 5 lifetimes. That doesn't matter. They collect it. Your gold and your silver have rusted. Silver will tarnish. As you all had probably had to clean some of your actual silver dinnerware. It tarnishes. But gold doesn't rust. And technically, it doesn't rust either. It just gets this black stuff on it that you got to get a product and knock it off. Rust? If you found a shipwreck that had gold coins in it that went down back in who knows when, as they find them from time to time, that gold is still shining. It's down there. Didn't rust, and it's in salt water. It's a dynamic of gold. And then it gets even more. If you were reading this before you had One important little clue. What would exposure to nuclear fallout do to you? We have examples in the Bible. What would it do? Well, I mean, if you're not dead right out, you lose all your hair. Your appetite, gone. It's called nuclear poisoning. And if you get this stuff all over your skin, well, you can imagine what it's going to do to your epidermis. And so it even gets better. It is, and you will, and will consume your flesh like fire. Putting all those things together, if you were reading this back at, well, I'll just pick a date, 1900, when these verses were around, you'd almost have to spiritualize it and say, well, that's just referring to what they're going to experience in hell. But the problem with that is gold and silver and their wealth, their clothing, isn't going to go to hell and torment them down there. That's stupid. That rich people, like everyone else, they die, they leave it back here for someone else to hold on to. It is in the last days that you have stored up your treasure. You've accumulated all this. The super rich. We're not just talking about the rich guy that lives over here in Nichols Hills or something. It's got a, you know, 30 million. We're not talking about him, per se. We're talking about these particular clique of individuals that have names. Now, I don't know where they're all going to be when this balloon goes up and this nuclear war starts. But God's coming after him. He is a hitman, and he's coming after him. And they can run to their elaborate underground bunker systems, which they no doubt already have built, so they can ride out doomsday. Good luck. You're going to need it. You think you can hide from God in a mega billion-dollar underground system with tunnels and every little thing you're going to need, right down to luxuries, and just ride this out and then come walking out? No, he's coming in there after you. This is how stupid men are. They think they can dig a hole in the ground and escape the wrath of God. Well, with all that's going on the earth during the tribulation, these things will be popped open like an eggshell with something like an earthquake. Earthquakes that just blow those things all up. And we know earthquakes are going to be all over the place. I hear stories about how the rich are involved in building these elaborate underground. And I'm not just talking about the old bunkers from World War II. You know, they're sitting out there and some people buy them up, you know, for the heck of it. For after World War II, you know. Those are all been abandoned. They're just sitting there. One guy, he has one built in New Zealand. It's an island, isn't it? I thought it was. I'm just kidding. Where are you going to hide on the earth in the trib? Anyway, he had one built there. Well, he had a problem. He went back to access it and he forgot the code. He forgot the code. He got like zing, zing, twit, twit. So he can run and hide. So it's not going to do him any good. You're going to get to taste nuclear contamination. And your garments are going to be wrecked. And your gold and silver are going to be contaminated, radioactive. And you're going to weep and howl. And they've got these verses right here. Yahweh, or the Lord Jesus Christ, he's coming after you. He's put a special circle around you. And the reason is because you cheated people. And they couldn't have cheated people if our government had done what it was supposed to. set up an honorable monetary system, which was the original idea. So you could pick up a piece of paper that says, this is redeemable at the United States Treasury for $10 in silver or gold. Gold certificate, silver certificates. That's what we all ought to have. And we wouldn't have these wild swings, and we wouldn't have inflation. But that's not their plan. Just because you've done good in America, eaten well, lived well, does not mean this is right. It's not. Behold the pay of the laborers who mowed your fields. You're going back to a rural society in the time of James, when there were certain rich people who ripped off their laborers. They ripped them off. And probably because the audience to whom he is written, it was Jewish landowners doing this to Jewish laborers. Who mowed your fields, which has been withheld by you. It cries out against you. You know that expression, cries out against? All of the people who were abused by those militant homosexuals in Sodom and Gomorrah, the ground cried out for vengeance. It's an interesting concept, isn't it? People are dead, they die, they're the victims. And you know, the ground, it's crying out. Not audibly, obviously, but it's crying out that there will be a judge who will pay back. Maybe they've been long dead, but the ground cries out. It says here, who's the subject of cries out? Your fields, and the outcry of those who did the harvesting. These people are crying. They're in misery because they're not able to bring home what they said they were promised in their payday. Oh, we just can't give you the full amount now. While he sits there with a glass of champagne and a Cuban cigar, I'm illustrating. It's long before we talked about that sort of thing. A Catholic monk discovered champagne by accident. It was useful for something. The outcry of those who did the harvesting has reached the ears of the Lord of the armies. Sabaoth means Lord of hosts, Lord of armies. It's brought into the New Testament. You have lived luxuriously on the earth. The lifestyles of the rich and famous, and specifically a certain category of rich and famous. Not just some Hollywood person that has a $30 million mansion over here. They're a separate group. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have led a life of wanton pleasure. You live above everybody else. Not only materialistically, but the rules of proper behavior do not apply to you. If you want to engage in any kind of perversity, that's okay because it's you. And you're protected because you can buy people. You can buy people. Judges and what have you. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have, and I don't know who this is, because it's a singular person, but prophecy will be specific. Real specific, not just general. They killed over their history because of their actions. Christians have suffered and died. No, that's true too. But it's a particular person that they kill in the last days. So when this prophecy is fulfilled, it will be in the trib. And it will be in connection, no doubt, with, as far as I can tell, while the nuclear attack is directed at the United States, how does that affect the Rothschilds in England or the others that are out there? I don't know that. I haven't got all. But it says, you have condemned and put to death the righteous man. It's an individual. And then it has another twist. He does not resist you. Does that mean, on the other hand, he could have resisted you? Took some kind of means to offset this? But he just lets you do it to him? So, I have sent things. Oh, question mark. Boom. We'll wait and see. The righteous man isn't just the average guy on the street that he's a good guy and not into that, or even just a believer. It must be a specific person, because if you go on and read in this chapter, and in James, you will find that examples of a righteous person includes none other than one Elijah. That's as righteous as you can get practically among the people. But in the meantime, what do we have to do when we live under this oppression? And there's a lot of oppression. A lot of oppression. Now we have medical oppression to add to it. Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. The farmer waits for the precious produce of the soil. In other words, he can't hurry up bringing his crop in. He's got to wait for timing. Be patient about it until it gets the early and light rains. And I explained that to you as the apostolic era and the last days era. You too, be patient. Strengthen your hearts. And that's what I tell all of you. Buck up. We're going through something. You always knew it. And don't let it drag you down. Don't let it make you a casualty. That's the key. You got volition. What won't you sacrifice and give up if you had to? Strengthen your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is near. And then stop complaining and some basic stuff about each other and so forth. All right, I'll let you go. We'll see you. There's some kind of a virus going around, I hear. There's always something. It's supposed to be a stomach virus. So anyway, some people are sick with it. Pray for everybody. Recognize, you know, you're all going to be called. If for any reason we have to cancel, I hope we don't. I look forward to being here, even under the circumstances, and to get some doctrine in front of you. It helps me too, a lot. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for the grace that brought us together this day. Be with us, and may we bear fruit, and be encouraged in these last days. In Christ's name, amen.